You are listening to episode 36 of the Soulful Podcast, Giving It Room to Grow with Emily Goff. Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. I am your host, Megan Harmony, a champion at overcoming the tough stuff and enjoying life while rising above it. Soulful living means getting to a place of ease and comfort no matter what's happening around you. It is waking up excited about what adventures you will go on. It's connecting to the power within you as your source of strength, grace, and security. It's being uncomfortable during growth spurts and leaning into the stretch. Each week, I will share with you about my journey and the experiences I have had. I'll offer you hope and inspiration that it is possible to live a full life even when the you-know-what is hitting the fan. I believe that love is a language we can all understand, and I want to inspire you to trust and believe in yourself. Your soul is hungry for more. Lean in to get soul full. I had the pleasure of interviewing my new friend, Emily Goff, on the podcast this week. She is a podcasting and business coach, speaker, and host of the Room to Grow podcast, a space for open, honest, and real discussions about tough lessons learned in life and entrepreneurship when thrown into the unexpected, with the podcast regularly featured in the top 200 worldwide in its category. After 11 years working in the corporate world, Emily quit her job to pursue her dream career helping entrepreneurs launch their podcasts and leverage their personal stories to maximize their impact in the world. Her signature approach is all about building powerful, genuine connections and relationships with integrity at the forefront. Emily currently lives in Bali, is often mistaken as an extrovert, and is always searching for more ways to be outdoors. And I realize as I'm recording this, Emily is now back from Bali, but that's okay. I hope you guys tune in and enjoy this week's episode. Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. Welcome to the Soulful Podcast. Today, I am so excited to have my new friend, Emily, on, and we're going to talk all things to help you guys move forward at this interesting time we're living in. So, Emily, my first question for you is, what's your go-to Boost Your Spirits song?
Oh, that's a good question. I feel like that's changing on a rapid basis at the moment. Actually, let me look it up. I've got my phone right here. It's the Chainsmokers song.
Oh.
And it's a remix of one that I really, really like. I just can't remember the name of it. What is it? Don't Let Me Down by the Chainsmokers. But it's like a Illenium remix, I think. Mm-hmm. I've kind of been listening to that on repeat. I'm sort of weird sometimes when I get stuck on a song. I feel like I listen to it over and over again, then I get tired of it until I move on to something else.
Yep, I get that. I totally get that. And that's kind of what we do, right? Like when we really enjoy something, we kind of use it till we're bored with it, right?
So. Exactly.
What's your favorite childhood memory?
Favorite childhood memory, I think, would be playing with my golden retriever. We had a couple golden retrievers when I was growing up, but like only one at a time. And there was one that was around for much more of my life. And I don't even think I could pick just one. I can't. I taught her, so I'm an only child, and I taught her to play hide and go seek. This is what you do when you're an only child. You have to get creative. And I would make her sit in the kitchen. So we had a two-story house growing up. I would make her sit in the kitchen and I would wave a dog biscuit under her nose. And then I would tell her to stay. So she would stay. And I would go running upstairs. And I would even make it more difficult for her by dragging the dog biscuit on the carpet into different rooms to throw her off the scent. And then I would hide somewhere. And then I would yell for her that it was okay to come. And she would come racing up the stairs to try and find me. And it worked every time. It was hilarious.
That's awesome. That's very creative, and that's very, I love that. That's so cute. Who inspires you the most?
I also feel like that can change on a little bit of a regular basis, especially right now in these weird times that we're living in. You know, I'm seeing some people who are really stepping up as leaders, and it's really incredible to see. But overall, I think that one of my big go-tos is Michelle Obama. Mm. That's a really big one for me. Brené Brown is another big one. Yeah. So, I mean, of course, there are absolutely people in my everyday life as well, but those two are often top of mind because I feel like Brené Brown, and sometimes I'm like, what would my life be like with a Brené Brown? I don't even know that my personality would be the same. Like, she's been so influential in my life. So yes, those are two big ones for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. And I understand that, of course, there's people in your everyday life that inspire you every day. Sorry about that. So that's, yeah, Brené Brown is kind of top of mind for everybody, and Michelle Obama. So that's good. Next question is, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be exactly what I'm doing when I grow up. And I honestly didn't think I would ever get to the point of saying that. And it's not to say that there aren't still big goals and stuff like that. Like, but all, they all still fall within the current career path that I am in and on. So yes, exactly what I'm doing, like podcasting, coaching, connecting with people, speaking, sharing my story, all of those types of things. And it's just incredible that I have the freedom to be able to do that and to create, what I want as I continue to evolve too. And as the people who are kind of along the journey with me evolve with me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're so good at what you do too. So it's great.
Thank you.
It's great that you're passionate about it as well. And like you're, so that's amazing. And what does it mean to you to live a soulful life?
I think that living a soulful life means remembering that we aren't here forever. And I think that there has never been as much of a globally collective reminder of that as we're undergoing right now, and that the world is not going to look the same on the other side of this.
Yeah.
And I think that there are going to be a lot of really beautiful things that come out of this. And every time I say that, I always say it with the reminder that I am not in any way undermining the fear and the devastating and deadly consequences that this is having, both economically and from a health standpoint. Like, people are losing their lives. But I do think that there are going to be some really incredibly beautiful acts of humanity that are going to come out of this and are already coming out of this in huge, huge ways. So yeah, I think that is kind of reminding everybody to live a more soulful life, and to be more intentional about how we're spending our time and what we are choosing to focus on as well.
Definitely. I couldn't agree with you more. Like, I'm finding what we focus on is what we see, right? So if we want to, and I myself am guilty of it. If, like, when I went to the grocery store the one day and there was no toilet paper, I was really mad. And I was like, how selfish of these people, and da, da, da. But then as I was walking out of the store in the Outreach for Hunger bin, there was two packages of toilet paper. So somebody had bought some and put some in there for the homeless or whomever that need the food bank. And I thought, okay, Megan, and it was the universe reminding me, like, they're, like you said, humanity is showing up as well. And we get to focus on that or ignore that. And that's our choice. Right. So, and
absolutely. Yeah.
So next question is, we've already been talking a bit about COVID-19, but what are you doing with regards to COVID-19? Like, how are you staying occupied, and what are you doing for your community and things like that?
Oh, I love that question. So for anyone who doesn't know, I am Canadian, but I picked up and took off to Bali about eight or nine months ago, and I didn't really plan on staying. I was going to continue to travel around, but I just fell in love with it. So I ended up staying there for the almost like the bulk of the last 8 or 9 months. Mm-hmm. And I actually had just already had a flight booked home the 24 hours before they declared a pandemic. So I got home and started going about life as usual, because in Bali, it's also very much of a bubble. We were not fully understanding and comprehending just how serious the coronavirus was until I got back to North America. And I was like, what is happening? So I felt like I got back just in the nick of time, but then it sort of threw me into this is not the life that I planned on coming back to. What is going on here? So I think that the biggest thing for me has been increasing connection as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because it's very dangerous. When all this talk started happening about social distancing, my very first thought was how dangerous that is from a mental health standpoint.
Yeah.
Of course it's necessary from a physical health standpoint, but it does have consequences. So I have started running an Instagram, doing a live stream on Instagram and Facebook every single morning at 8 a.m. Eastern. And I will continue to do that until this is over. And I think that could be well. So I might start showing up in an increasingly loopy manner, depending on how long I've been cooped up indoors, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I'm doing, is for anyone who hasn't heard of it, there's this card game called We're Not Really Strangers. And it's basically all these different cards, and it's amazing to use in quarantine or self-isolation. So I think you can still order them. You can order it to be shipped to you. And I draw a card from that every morning and then I answer it. And then I want to provide that card to anyone watching who can then use that with their loved ones too, if they don't have the deck themselves. So that's something that I've really been focusing on, and just asking how I can support people and show up for them as much as possible. Because I think that if we don't ask, we won't know. And that these are the kinds of times where we can't assume that we know either, because that's going to be changing the world is changing right now by a minute to minute basis. Mm-hmm. So you have to expect the same thing from, you know, not only your people as a business owner, but from just the people in your personal life as well.
Definitely. Definitely. I think that's such a huge point too, right? Is we can't assume to know what anyone is thinking or feeling right now as not just as business owners, but even in our family. Like, I've noticed my communication with my loved ones has increased quite a bit because I'm checking in on them, but I'm also like, how are you feeling? Like, and really getting to that place of service and asking people what's going on in your mind, what's going on in your heart, how can I be helpful? Right. So I love that you touched on that because it's so important. And I got to attend one of your lives the other day, and it was a lot of fun, and it was great just to have that over the internet connection. Right. Because I agree with you. We're probably in this for a bit longer of a haul than we even realize at this point. And it's so important to have that somewhat connection so we don't go stir crazy. Unless you're someone that likes your quiet and likes your calm and this is feeling good for you, and then that's okay too. But I'm the same person. I'm like an introverted extrovert. So I'm kind of okay with this, but then I also need those social times, right? So,
well, it's funny because I'm a huge introvert and I love my alone time, and I require it. I think that what's different about this too is that a lot of us aren't living alone where we often potentially would be. You know, we've kind of like gone back home to family or something like that to make sure that we're not separated for an indefinite length of time. And right. What that does for an introvert is like, I'm used to being totally alone sometimes. So even if I'm in the house with a family member or other family members and they're not speaking to me, I still am almost feeling the weight of that. So it's really interesting how it's affecting all of us differently. And I think it's going to be really important to just continue to practice as much self-care as possible. I don't even really like using that term because I think it's overused to some degree, but just kind of finding your anchors that are going to help keep you sane and to still bring you joy. Yeah.
Definitely. I love that you touched on that too, because it is so important to tune into yourself and what you need. Like, I get your point about self-care being a little overused, but it is important to know yourself and what you need and do your best in these times to provide that for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah.
Emily, I'm going to ask you at this time to share with us a dark night of the soul that you have experienced and kind of what happened in your life as a result of that.
So, before I left Canada, this is tied into the reason why I left Canada. I was in a 9-year relationship and we had lived together for almost that entire time. We owned a house together, all those things. We were planning on getting married. and within a few months. And on Christmas Eve of 20, what year are we in? We're in 2020. I told you I'm going loopy from being trapped indoors.
No, I totally get it.
So Christmas Eve of 2018, there was a bang on the door, and it was my partner's previous girlfriend to inform me that he had been having an affair with her off and on for our entire 9 years together. Mm. So that was, I mean, obviously that's a devastating blow anyway. It was not as, it wasn't a situation where it was kind of like everyone knew about it except for me either. This was a huge shock to everyone in both of our lives. So that was, that sort of added an extra layer to some degree. That also added a degree of comfort for me as well though, because I thought, okay, I'm not the only one who didn't see this.
Right.
At the same time, I think that when you're in these types of relationships where something like that's happening, hindsight is always 20/20. So when I look back on various red flags over the years that I just chose to ignore and could technically be explained by more reasonable so-called explanations, I chose to ignore my gut. And I've gotten a lot of lessons since then about learning to check in with my intuition and to actually listen to it as opposed to ignoring it. But I think that one of the biggest issues for me with all this was, like, I'm an incredibly honest and really genuine person. I don't even really know how not to be. And finding out that this relationship that had seemed so good was actually built on an entire foundation of lies. And it felt like then I had been lying almost as a result of that for such a long time that it threw me into a complete identity crisis. I didn't even know who I was anymore. And we did actually, I worked very hard to make sure that we parted amicably.
Okay.
And he did too, for, like, you know, I give credit where it's due. So we worked together for a few months. He moved out right away, but we worked together on our house to do some renovations before we sold it. And I knew right away that I was going to leave to travel, because I've always been someone who enjoys travel, and he had not been.
Right.
And the reasons for that, of course, now have become a little bit more obvious than he didn't want to have any social media evidence posted of trips when he was saying one thing to one person and then something else to me. So that shone a whole different light on that. But I needed to just get out, because I felt that one of the other issues here was that I found out that he'd had a secret house down the street, 170 meters from our driveway. Oh. And that he'd been maintaining it off and on for like 4 years. So, and when I laugh about this now, it is actually, I always want to clarify, it is actually very genuine laughter. Like, I'm far enough past it that I can laugh about this, and it's completely real. And it's just sort of so ridiculous to me sometimes that I look back at it and I'm like, how? And during those times I would lie in bed sometimes and I'm like, how is this my life? Like, when did this become my life, and how did I get here? And why does it feel like my life is a movie that I can't wake up from? It's one of those moments. That is not where I ever thought that I would end up or be. So I needed to get out. And I also felt deeply betrayed by the city. And this is like where I am born and bred. I've always lived here, except when I left for 4 years to go to university.
Yeah.
And I needed to leave and get as far away as possible. So I literally chose the opposite corner of the globe. I went all the way to Bali, and it just, it changed everything. I felt the energy as soon as I stepped off the plane that it was exactly where I needed to be. And that was why I stayed longer, because I could just tell that I wasn't done learning lessons there. I needed to stay, to continue to work through a lot of unhealed trauma in order to get to the other side of it, if that makes sense. So yeah.
that's a powerful story. Like, I just, wow, you went through so much. I love that you can laugh about it today because you're far enough removed from it, but you can also share, like, how is this my life? It's like a movie I can't wake up from. Like, we have all at some point, at least everyone I know, has had experiences where it's like, what is happening right now? Like, how am I even
outside of COVID-19?
Well, exactly. Well, and actually, yeah, that is exactly what we're all kind of like. It's like a zombie apocalypse movie, but the zombies haven't shown up yet. Like, yeah. So one of the things you mentioned was that you went as far away as possible to Bali. And were there specific things you did for yourself while in Bali to help you reconnect to your intuition and to that, to find yourself after the identity crisis, or like a couple steps that you can share with the listeners just to kind of support them moving forward?
Yeah, I would love to. I think that a huge part of learning to listen to your intuition is just a self-trust factor. And when someone close to you has lied to you for such a long time, but when you look back and you realize that you were allowing yourself to be lied to, and that's really hard to face, because there's a difference between you can be a victim and still take responsibility for your own actions in something. Yeah. And I think that people often misconstrue that, and that if they're a victim of something, then they think that they aren't responsible for it. And if we're talking about, you know, like physical abuse and stuff like that, that's different. But we do still all play a role in determining our own fate and what kinds of behavior we allow. And that was a big realization for me, was look what I've been tolerating for a really long time. And one of the ways that I realized that was that within a couple of days of me ending the relationship, I noticed that my anxiety lifted for the first time in years.
Wow.
Years. And completely lifted. And it felt like I had come out of a fog. And I hadn't realized just how bad my anxiety was until it was gone. And then I realized how much of it had been tied to him and to that relationship, because I had been ignoring my intuition and not trusting my own instincts. Another example of that was that my periods had been irregular for years, and they regulated within a month.
Wow.
And they've been like completely like clockwork ever since. And just one more sign of the body talking to you and not choosing to listen to it. Just kind of shoving it aside, not really paying attention to it. And when it came to Bali, I was very resistant. I'm very type A person, very like, I need control. And which is very hard then when your life is thrown out of complete control and you feel like you aren't able to take the reins anymore. So when it came time to go to Bali, I had all these plans of, you know, I was going to build up my business basically as soon as I got there, because I hadn't been able to do much with my business the previous few months since it had ended, because I had just been so deep living right in it that I couldn't step out of it far enough. But Bali had other plans. And when I got there, I just found that I developed a community of people so quickly and unexpectedly, especially as an introvert, that, I was just having fun. And I have a relationship coach that I work with, especially when I'm not near my therapist locally. And I kept saying to her, I'm like, you know, I need to make sure that I'm not sidestepping trauma, like that I'm not bypassing any of this. I need to make sure I'm working through it. I don't want to bypass it and then have it come bite me in the ass later. And she's like, Emily, I think you're actually happy. I almost felt guilty for laughing and for having fun, because I thought, you know, this is just like covering up more pain and more trauma. Like I need to work through. And I think that can almost be a downside of personal growth and personal development.
Yeah.
Is that when you get so deep into it, you almost forget that it's okay for life to just be easy and for things to be light, and that it's okay to laugh. And I think that that's a really important reminder for this situation that we're in right now as well.
Yeah.
That even despite all the heaviness and the overwhelm and the anxiety, it's okay to actually enjoy life sometimes. And that doesn't mean that those heavier feelings won't come up, but it means that you can still enjoy the time that you have here and enjoy the present moment without getting so stuck in the negative and what's already passed, basically.
Yeah, I think that's a huge point. And thank you for bringing that up. Like, with regards to your past, being able to be happy and enjoy while you're working through all this self-development and everything, I think that's so important that we often do get in that, at least I did, and it sounds like you did too, this spiral of like, well, there has to be something more I need to work on. And it's like, no, you can just be happy. Or like in the times we're in right now, it can be very easy to get stuck in the spiral of panic or fear or different things. And it's completely okay to be in those feelings, but it's also okay to have a laugh. Like I saw a post, something about, I think, it was something to the effect of like, we have to get seeds to plant or something. And then the next thing was, well, where do you get seeds for Doritos or something like that? I don't know, but it was like, yeah. So there are people putting funny things out, and it's okay to laugh about that and enjoy time with people and have fun and not feel guilty about having fun in these unprecedented times.
Okay. Well, I love that you brought that up about the seeds too, because actually one metaphor that my coach has continuously referred back to, she's been on my podcast before. Her name is Emma Tate. Okay. And she talked a lot about the fertile void. And she was talking to me about that for months before long before I even really got to Bali. And even once I got to Bali, I didn't really get it. I'm like, okay, Emma, fertile void, whatever. It sounds like woo-woo. I don't know what you're talking about. And then I finally started to understand it, because once I'd been in Bali for maybe four or five months, I just started getting all these downloads creatively of things that I wanted to start doing and things that I ideas I needed to create to put out into the world. Yeah. And I finally understood it. I'm like, that's what it was. Like I'm finally starting to move out of that really dark time and look at the beautiful things that are blooming because of it. And it was only because I allowed myself to have that time and to not push myself out of it before I was ready, that these things can bloom. You can't rush nature. You know, you can plant a seed and you can wish on it all you want. It's not going to grow any faster. You have to just give it its time to run its course before it's going to produce for you. And that's what we often have to do with ourselves, with our brains, with our creativity, with our ideas. It doesn't mean that they're dead or that they're gone. It just means that you need a break. And you have to, that's another piece of the self-trust factor, is trusting that it will come back. And trusting that it will bloom and that it will grow eventually. And we can be so fearful that if, you know, we lose our creativity or we lose our happiness, you know, it's kind of a weird way of putting it, but that it will never come back. Right. And trusting that there are better days ahead is, I think, a really important part of the process, even though that can be one of the most difficult as well.
Definitely. Definitely. It's so important to have that hope for the future, but it can be very difficult when you're in that darkness and the trauma. And I'm so glad you shared that, because that's something I share quite often, is like, I'll be your hope dealer. Just tell me your problem and we will find a glimmer of light, right? Because there's always something just to grasp onto and that's coming, or at least to have hope is coming. So I think it's so important that you showed that. Thank you.
I love that you say hope dealer. That's amazing.
That actually, I think that came out of the Sarah Swain mastermind, I think.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah. So they gave me a lot of names in that group, angel advisor and hope dealer. And yeah. Good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how we have so many communities available to us too, right? Like in these times, somewhere online, you will find someone that has what you need or are looking for at this time. Like, and not even to purchase, like just for community support and different things like that. Like there's, anyways, I digress. And
that's one of the lessons that I've really learned too, is again, especially in Bali, I found like people, but everywhere, I've just found that when people come into my life now, I look at them in a completely different way, because I'm like, you're here for a reason. And it might be to make my life miserable for a period of time. Like, it might not be like something that I'm necessarily happy about, but it's still for a reason. And I'm still going to learn something from the interaction. And I just get this sense now that when people come into my life, I'm like, I almost take a step back and look at it with kind of mild interest as opposed to attaching to an outcome.
Yeah.
So when someone comes into my life now, I'm like, I wonder why you're here. And I can tell it's for a reason. And I don't know what it is yet, but this is going to be interesting.
Well, and I love how you get into that observer mode, right? Where you're just kind of observing the situation and how you mentioned like detaching from the outcome, because that's key to true happiness, in my opinion anyways, is because anytime we're focused on the outcome, if the outcome ends up being anything different than what we're thinking, we're miserable and upset or resentful. And so that's so important to just, the outcome is none of my business. And I'm just going to enjoy this time with you for the reason you're here, or maybe not enjoy it if they're there to teach you a lesson and they're annoying you, but either way, we'll get through this time and move to the other side. So
the outcome will take care of itself.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. Actually, I like that. The outcome. You're very wise, Emily.
Oh, thank you.
I think you have an old soul,
I definitely do have an old soul for sure. I feel sometimes like I'm 33, but sometimes, I don't know, I feel like that's dog years for me. I'm like, how old am I actually? Sometimes it feels like I've lived like 1,000 lifetimes. I don't feel old, but just like, yeah, sometimes I feel as though I've lived a lot longer than I actually have.
Yeah, you definitely have an old soul for sure. And I love how you said dog years, like, just, which would make you like, what, 33 times seven, whatever that is. Oh my goodness.
It'd be like, I know. Yeah. I can't do the math on that. There's no way.
That's funny. What is the best piece of advice that you've been given in your life?
I'm trying to think, because I feel like that's also shifted for me a lot too. Mm-hmm. You know, like we get different pieces of advice that serve us in different times in our life. I think that allowing it to be easy is probably some of the best advice that I've gotten. And I've come back to that a lot, because not only on a personal level, but on a professional level too. You know, if you're trying to force something so hard and it just, you're then kind of pushing it away as much as you're reaching for it, because energetically you can't align with it. And I can go woo, but I only go woo so far. I'm still very like grounded and science based. Yeah. But I do understand that concept, that if you are struggling so hard for something, whether it's something in your personal life or your professional life, you can work really hard for it, but recognize that it's still allowed to be easy. Mm. And I think that sometimes when things do come to us easily, we almost reject it because it feels too easy.
Right.
Like, well, I didn't even have to work for that. So clearly there's something wrong here. Like that's somewhere where my mind will often go if something happens really easily. And I've started to change my mindset around that a lot. And I think I'll continue to be handed that lesson over and over again, but that's definitely something, that has become a reminder that I try to regularly come back to and kind of ground myself.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that. Allow it to be simple. Right? Mm-hmm. Rather than we often fight, right? Like we just, it's got to, or we have, at least for me, I grew up with that mentality of like, you better work, right? Like it's got to be work.
Yes.
And through what you're sharing there about your business and different things, it doesn't have to be hard though. And somewhere in my brain, when it was like, when I came up with this belief in the past that I had to work, I was like, you better work hard and it better be difficult. And I've had to shift that over the years myself, because it doesn't have to be difficult. It can be very simple, right? So thank you for sharing that. That's really important.
I have a coach who says that entrepreneurship is the personal development playground. And I always come back to that, because we continue to learn these lessons, I feel like in almost on hyperdrive and in a magnified way, because we experience them almost on two levels all the time. Not that anyone who doesn't have like a more standard career, like 9-to-5 type corporate job, doesn't experience lessons professionally as well. It's just right. that when everything is all on you, then it's all of your personal bullshit that gets in the way of you taking things to the next level on a professional level either. So yeah. you have to deal with both at the same time on a constant basis. And it just ends up being such a reminder then of, you know, it's allowed to be easy. And that the, I love how you said that too, but like you can work, but you don't have to necessarily work so hard that you're just creating more issues for yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Right. What is one thing that you'd like to say to the listeners to support them in living a soul-led life, overcoming trauma, all of those things? What's something you'd like to leave the listeners with today?
That whatever chapter you're in right now is not the final chapter.
Mm.
That there's more to come, and whatever you're dealing with right now, you're on chapter 10. You're in chapter maybe 20 out of like 60, 67. Like there's so many more chapters to come that even if you're in a really, really dark period right now, there, you will turn the page. You will be able to turn the page. And that's when becoming a little bit of an observer in your own life and trying to detach yourself just a tiny bit can give you enough of a bird's eye view that you can look at it and go, okay, this isn't the end. Like when that relationship fell apart, when I specifically remember when she came to the door, I almost floated up out of myself and I was perfectly deadly calm. And anyone who has known me for long enough has been surprised by that. They're like, you were calm? Really? And I remember thinking in the exact moment, am I maturing? Like I was almost taking just this like weird, because I almost recognized in that exact moment that this is shit. This is going to be complete shit for a while, but you won't always feel like shit. And that was why I think I was able to move through it in a way that some people have thought is maybe faster than they had thought I might have moved through it.
Right.
But I knew almost immediately that I would come forward with my story and that would be part of my healing process as well. And all of those stemmed from me being able to recognize that there was going to be something on the other side of all of this that was better.
Yeah. And I think as you're saying that, thank you so much for your strength and your courage and that reminder that it's not the final chapter. Right? Like there's more to come, and remembering it's going to be better on the other side of it, which again ties into what we're going through with COVID-19. And it's not to discredit the families who have lost loved ones and things like that. Like my heart goes out to them and we're sending prayers, but in the same sense, on the other side of what's happening in our world today, there is going to be something better. Right? And it doesn't, this is, at least I hope. I mean, I could be wrong and it could be the end of the world, but I don't believe that personally. I'm like you, and I'm looking for the next chapter that's coming and the humanity we're going to see on the other side of it. So.
And those next chapters, I don't always look how we wanted them to.
Yeah.
And they don't always look how we expected them to, but there are still going to be really beautiful things that can be born out of really awful, terrible circumstances.
Definitely. Definitely. Well, Emily, I want to thank you for being with us today. And is there somewhere specific that the guests can find you on either Instagram or Facebook, especially for your 8 a.m. lives, if they want to come join you?
Yes, I would love it if they would come hang out. So because we're all going to need some entertainment. So come entertain me, ask some questions. I'll see what I can do. we can connect, all of those things. So Instagram, I'm over at Emily Goff Coach. Facebook is Emily Goff Coaching. So you can find me over there. And then of course the Room to Grow podcast as well. I end up kind of jamming on a lot of the topics that I'll likely end up touching on in the lives as well. And things that I've talked about today, I've talked about on my podcast too. So yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Emily. It's been an absolute pleasure. And I hope to see you in the near future.
When we are not quarantined. Yes. Exactly. Because we're not actually that far from each other. We're only like an hour from each other.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. We have to get together in the near future.
I agree. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
until we meet again, lean in to get soulful. Thank you for meeting me soul to soul today on the Soulful Podcast. If this episode connected with you and you feel called to, please share it with your friends and family so they can feel the love as well. Also, don't forget to hit subscribe on your podcast player so you get notified when new episodes drop. Please leave a rating and comment so I know what's touching your soul the most and can bring you more of what you long for. If you have suggestions for topics or would like me to speak at your event, please connect with me at soulfullsobriety@gmail.com. Thank you for your love and support in helping me connect with more souls to remind them they are divine, capable, and loved. You're the best. Go out looking at the world through the lens of love.